El Camino People, episodio 13. Hi everyone and welcome to El Camino People, the podcast. Today is June 29th and we are almost there. We are almost ready. And our first family, all the borders of Spain will be open with at least 4 of the countries in the European Union. So we will say that the Camino, the French, the Portuguese will be open on the but still be careful, you know, book your flights with an insurance and take care. There's not much more to do. For today we have a great interview. We love things, Camino's love to have Camino, after Camino. But what happens when love is first? We are talking with two Belgians from Australia that decided to do the honeymoon in the Camino. You know, where people talk about honeymoon because they were beautiful places. Welcome to El Camino People, the podcast. Today we have two guests that we already have, so thank you for coming back again, Chris and Angela. Like I recorded with them the podcast a while ago, but I don't know why all the data in my hard drive got deleted, so we have to do the podcast again. Thank you guys a lot for coming back and to let me interview you again.
Our pleasure. There's not a lot of other things that we can be doing at nighttime these days, so it's nice to actually be chatting with you again.
It's funny because it was right now close to 5 months, you know, clock on the dot. I'm like, we were doing this in January, so right now it's May. And things have changed quite a lot in the world. I'm like, right now we are the whole coronavirus hit it, everyone. So how are things in Australia?
They're not too bad, I think, when we compare it to sort of everywhere else. We're still allowed to go out whenever we want. For the essentials, exercise, you know, supermarket, all that sort of stuff. So we're not locked down too much, but and they're even talking about easing the restrictions a little bit more in the coming weeks. So we're lucky that it hasn't impacted us as much as it has in other places around the world.
Yeah, it's true that you know, keeping in touch with everyone, you know, the worst countries, I guess, you know, Italy was first, then it was just Spain. Well, China was, of course, the beginners. Now the US is getting a big impact, but Australia's been keep, you know, quite safe. I don't know, you know, there's not been many deaths or cases over there. I don't know if that's because you're an island, you're quite isolated, or you've been doing well with keeping distance.
Yeah, I didn't really pick Australians to be really very good at following the rules. But I suppose when the Prime Minister came out, what about mid or end of March or something, and actually sort of stipulated what we can and can't do, people were very respectful of it. And it is nice. There's silver linings that have come out of it. There's lots of more community minded and lots of people really getting behind and supporting people, particularly the health workers, as we see all over the world. So there are lots of silver linings, but it is still, it's very sad, the people that are impacted that have passed away. That's someone's family, that's someone's friend. So yeah. But in the sense, we are very lucky here. So New Zealand did an amazing job, and then I say that we're probably not far behind. So the Prime Minister has made some good calls, some not good calls, but I think we are lucky when you compare particularly to the US.
Yeah.
Very good to be living when we think about what's happening over there. So
I know.
And as Chris said, it won't be long until we can, life will just get back to what it was, and then we kind of will kind of hopefully cherish these moments. I suppose I was listening to a podcast a couple of weeks ago about when this, something like this happens. I kind of connected it to the Camino, in that you finish the Camino, you have this new look on life, you learn all these lessons, and you come back home and you try and, you know, tell everyone these lessons that you learned, and you don't sweat the small stuff, and then naturally somehow life does come back. You still need to go to work. You still have to, you know, expectations of things like that. So you kind of hope that these lessons that we are learning as a community and as the world, that we actually do continue these on, unlike sometimes Camino life. But we actually, as we were saying before, we think the Camino prepared us for this isolated life to a degree.
You know, I heard
would the
other day, yeah, totally. I heard someone the other day, you know, a lot of people, you know, and we can take it to the Camino or to the situation we are now. They were saying, you know, we need to go back to normal life. And someone says like, no, we don't need to go to back to normal life. We need to go to back to a new life that is better than the one we had, you know, prior to COVID. And I guess in the Camino is the same, you know, a lot of people is like, how is going back to normal life? And I guess once you finish the Camino and something like you doing the Camino as a couple on a honeymoon, you don't go back to normal life, because there's no normal life again. That's a new life.
Yeah.
And after COVID, we all need to go to a new, better, you know, and things, I guess, they're going to change. We know that as a, you know, human race, we can do great things together. And as you said, you know, there's been bad things done, bad situations, you know, bad decisions making. But anyone, you know, right now, as people were saying, you know, it's a time not to point anyone. I guess, you know, people have been doing to try to do their best. And as we continue forward, we hope that, you know, things get as common. And like, who will ever imagine, you know, when we were doing the interview in January, that we, where we will be right now? I'm like, if I have to put my money, I'm like, I will bet on my money. I will be right now living on the streets. No one, you know,
yes.
not even in the worst movies, we think about something. So, you know, when we, and I love all these virus movies, but they're all destructive with everything. But something like this, so quiet, so silent, so specific to, you know, to some kind of people, it was never thought. I'm like, I don't think. And now that's the time, you know, we, once everything gets relaxed, we'll be, you know, time to think like, how as people we have, you know, reacted and doing to all of this.
Yeah. Well, when we spoke in January, we were talking about the bushfires here in Australia and the impact that that was having. And as you said, we wouldn't, that's sort of the forgotten thing now, unfortunately. A lot of those communities are still hugely impacted because that was their summer. You know, that's people race to those areas to spend their time over the summer break, and now this happens. But yeah, it's very unforeseen. So an interesting 5 months since we last saw you.
Oh my god, I'm like, what a year. I'm like, we start with the fires, then the supposedly maybe world war, then I'm like, people are like, all these memes, you know, making jokes, what is going to come in July? I'm like, are we going to discover aliens? The other day, the US, you know, developing all these pictures from UFOs. I'm like, what is going to happen next? I'm like, I'm not ready. I'm sorry. I still have, you know, be born like 200 years ago. I don't think I'm ready for this crap yet.
No, definitely not. It will make a good movie, 2020, the movie, in many years to come.
That's one thing, you know, here in Spain, and I guess, you know, as the whole world, we make fun of everything, and that's, you know, one of the things that people are like, oh, how you make fun of it? I'm like, there's no other way, you know. And I guess, you know, the other day we were talking with someone that, you know, take the Camino a little more, less serious. And I think, you know, everything has the serious part and the funny part, and we have to live with both, because if not, there's no other way that you can go out and keep going with your life.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's right. You got to look at the bright side of all situations. There is something somewhere.
Yeah. So let's go to more happy stuff. So Angela and Chris, you walked the Camino a while ago, but you walked the Camino in a quite a special situation. So why, for the ones who don't know, they decided to go to the Camino on a honeymoon? When everybody worldwide, you know, goes to, in the time that we were able to go on honeymoons, right now people are going to be going back to honeymoon to the next closest village, like our grandparents did. But when you were able to go to Cancun, to, I don't know, other places, you know, more typical, and living in Australia, you know, everybody here in Spain usually goes to your area for honeymoon. They go to Vietnam, Cambodia, all that area. You decided to do your honeymoon in the Camino de Santiago. How?
Well, I suppose I always had this idea that I wanted to walk the Camino. So in about 2015, I'm a school teacher, so it was part of like a professional learning day, and I listened to this man speak about walking the Camino. I was like, oh, wow, that sounds amazing. That's definitely something I want to do. And I was going to do it. And then I started a new job and didn't think the timing was right. And then a few months later, I met Chris. So that kind of put it to the side. I thought, oh, I better sort of see if he's worth it, worth sticking around for. And then last year, I think, or maybe it was the end of 2018, yeah, which seems a while back now.
We planned this.
Yeah. It was a holiday. And then I sort of persuaded him to do it. Relaxed person that you'll meet, and he sort of just goes with the flow, and I thought, I'll just plant the seed and see what he thinks. So like, yes, let's do this holiday and we'll see parts of Europe and we'll walk the Camino. And then a few months before, well, originally we thought, let's get married over there, because we got engaged, and we thought, let's get married in Spain. Oh, what a story. This is perfect. We can drink as much wine as we want, eat as much as we want. The Spanish like to party. This is perfect. But there's way too much paperwork involved.
Really? Maybe there's some niche we can research over there, Chris. Maybe we can go accompany, you know, get married in the Camino. You bring the people from Australia and all your area. You know, I get with all the work over here. We do a little gathering party, and we can make this, you know, the second Vegas.
I like it. I think it's a good idea.
Maybe there's business there.
Both of you light up. So we didn't look too far into it, but it is rather difficult. And we thought, oh, the Spanish, they're very relaxed, laid-back nature, very similar to ours. We thought, oh, would it be legal? Would we come back with a piece of paper and then the what we call it, birth, deaths and marriages here, the organisation would say, sorry, that's not legitimate.
That so weird? I thought, you know, that in a global, you know, in a country that, you know, it's not going like getting married, you know, in a little church in Vegas, or going getting married, I don't know, in a little island on the middle of Africa. So is there really that as such a big of a problem, or do you have to go through a lot of paperwork to make it?
Well, as I said, we're a bit laid back that anything that's probably more than one or two emails to organise, we're not really going to continue on. So it ended up being we got married in July 2019, and we actually just planned our wedding in about 2 months. I think we were just sitting down one night. And
said, wow.
Let's do it. So we did, and we had it like sort of a small wedding one day and then a big party the next day. So it was very us. And then a month, maybe 3 weeks later, we left for Europe. And I suppose when you think of honeymoons, we did kind of have a little bit of honeymoon either side. We did spend about a week in Paris first, living a life in Paris, staying in the Marais, drinking a lot of French wine, amazing food. And then we trekked down to Saint-Jean via a couple of trains, and then bang, there we were, from beautiful clothes in Paris to shorts and t-shirt, trail runners, backpack, ready to walk, and thinking, let's do it.
So what did your family and friends, I guess probably, you know, this is not the average honeymoon in Australia, and I don't think probably not even close, you know, maybe people will be thinking of maybe going to a hike in Nepal or something more. But what people say, you know, when you were doing a small wedding, then suddenly getting married quickly, you know, for us here, two months preparation, when people are getting, you know, a whole year of preparation for a wedding, and suddenly you go to your honeymoon to do the Camino de Santiago, something that is getting bigger, but probably some of your friends didn't even know that exists.
I think
when I told my friends, most of them said, why are you doing this? I didn't have any idea of what it was. All the way I could explain it was, I'm walking We're walking 800 kilometers across Spain, and they couldn't understand why.
Until I suppose we said that you walk all day and then you stop and, then, and you drink and eat all afternoon and all night. And I think that's kind of.
But like, still, a honeymoon is usually you don't walk. You drink, you stay in an amazing hotel with like beautiful turquoise waters with a you know the bellman that brings you the food. Like my best friend went, you know, to Vietnam. They were like in a little island with a little house. You know, the guy will go in a little motorcycle with the food. They wouldn't leave, you know, from bed to the hot tub to the views to breakfast to the bed to the hot tub. And for you guys was from the albergue to the Camino to the bar to the albergue. I'm like,
from one bunk bed to another bunk bed. we did treat ourselves a few times along the way. So I think maybe actually in Pamplona, we stayed at a nice hotel and that was magic. Like we walked in and the room was bigger than our apartment here and we were just opening and closing and smelling fresh towels and we're like, this is a honeymoon. And we did stand out at the breakfast buffet the next day because we were dressed in our pilgrim clothes and these lovely dressed people. I think they're lost.
Do you remember the name of the hotel?
I don't know. It did start with R. I can't remember.
It was in the old town or?
It wasn't far from the like kind of that the center.
From the city hall or the Plaza del Castillo.
Yeah, right. The city hall, sort of like one of the
in the corner, the one in the corner.
Came up a bit further up. It was maybe only a 5 to 7 minute walk from.
Okay.
From the town hall there, Hotel R O N R A N something.
Yeah, I can't remember.
But the buffet breakfast was amazing. It had a whole like ham hock that you sliced yourself. And we were thinking what we'd eaten the last few days, even though the breakfast, like the food was amazing, but we saw this. So we kind of got a little taste for hotels. And then a few days we stayed in the big albergues and we loved the communal dinners. That was a highlight. Mm-hmm. And then every now and then after about a week we'd be like, time for a hotel again? Yes, time for a hotel. And so as time began, I think the hotels appeared a lot more than the albergues.
I guess makes sense. So how did people, you know, I'm like, if you go to one, you know, high-end hotel and you get, you know, when you're on a honeymoon you have to treat yourself properly when you get to a big town or something, you know. And I guess a lot of people will think, you know, the Camino, and I think when you do the whole Camino, you have time for everything. And I think, you know, even for a normal pilgrim to take in a day break and experience, you know, a good hotel, spa. There's a couple of hotels, you know, León, Pamplona, Astorga, that they are worth, you know, if you have the money and you're that's the kind of trip you're looking for, it's totally worth it. I'm like, probably you're not going to come back to that spot ever. So how was it, the coming into the hotel, when you go to a hotel, like, super nice and, you know, people with a suit, and you go in with your smell, pilgrim smell, that we don't smell, but people do smell us, and you go with your backpack. What do people think? I'm like, how do they look at you guys?
Oh, don't forget the walking poles, Jose.
Oh, yeah.
Clink, clink, clink. Now, we used to remind each other to fold up our pole before we got too close to the nice hotel areas. But we did get some funny looks.
You do get funny looks when you walk in with a big backpack, shorts and a t-shirt into this really nice fancy hotel
and wanting a stamp on your pilgrim passport like on your it was a little bit like, it's just so normal in the albergue, it's like that's, they have it ready, we're there, they're thinking I need to go and get the stamp. So and then sometimes I'd imagine when the click, like we did stay a couple of nights in Pamplona and León and Burgos, I think we did two nights. And so when we would leave our things in the day and the cleaners would come in and they would have just seen old trail runners with mud attached, backpack and everything, you know, as you're packing bag for the community, everything's in satchels and organized. So they'd be thinking, who are these people, our towels hanging up because we're just so used to hanging up your microfiber.
And that's the thing, you know, when you go to the hotel where you're sleeping in your sleeping bag, that you use your, you know, your normal little towel. I'm like, what is this? You know, this is a towel that covers my whole body that I can use on a normal shower. I don't have like 50 people around waiting.
Yeah, and you can leave your toiletries. It doesn't matter if things drop. We were pretty lucky.
Weren't you like in dinner inviting other people to your table to serve your food or something, you know, like that? Or...
Well, it actually was funny because then at nighttime when you did, like in the afternoon, we'd always like go and explore mm-hmm. the town or the city, wherever we were. We wanted to explore and get to know where the locals went and just people watch. And so when you did stay in the big hotels, I suppose the negative part was that you didn't have that camaraderie that you get from other pilgrims when you do get to the albergue and you share your stories from the day, where you're from, where are you heading next, and then, you know, the big feasts and the long table. We'd just sort of find a little place, dinner for two, and then we'd usually run into pilgrims in the plaza that night, which is always a highlight.
But I guess that's always, you know, a good plan when you are doing it with your couple or with a friend. You know, I always say that taking those extra days, you know, if you have the time in Pamplona, León, Burgos, it's worth it. You know, even, you know, it's not going to a 5-star hotel, but you can get a nice 2-star or something and take a break. And, you know, doesn't make that you're doing a less real Camino or not. It's just a different Camino and it's your own. And as you say, you know, one of the things I don't think I will ever do the Camino from hotel or hotel, and I will never do the Camino also in a sleeping tent, because you take away that pilgrim part that we don't even know how it's going to look like in the future now with the whole situation. So
yes,
I guess that's the most beautiful part, you know, the cooking together, the communal dinners, as we were mentioning, and like the going outside and like, who's coming for the drink? And then, you know, people that you don't even know, they say, I'm coming. I'm like, who are you? I'm like, I don't care. I say probably you wouldn't go to the bar and the hotel. Like, who's coming for drinks?
That is very true. Yeah, you hope that magic stays regardless of what happens next year and the following years for the Camino, because that is where you pick up that energy. You pick up the energy from your fellow pilgrims, and as you know, sometimes you're only sleeping 4 or 5 hours in your albergue because someone's up, someone's in late, there's everything, every possible.
We were talking yesterday, you know, about the type of pilgrims, that Korean pilgrim that has everything in plastic bags and decides to move his backpack at 5 a.m. We were laughing yesterday. Sorry, it was in Spanish with Claudia, you know, but we were laughing about all these kinds of pilgrims. Oh, my God, we have such a blast. But it's true, you know, we usually 5 hours and it's enough, usually. I don't know how we make it.
It just works. But we, speaking of, like, the pilgrims in their plastic, we did learn a lot, like, because we started in Saint-Jean and you kind of get your groove after the first few days. You kind of know where you want to walk, what pace, and some towns that you possibly might want to, villages to stay in, and you kind of meet people you might walk with for a few days and then catch up with them later. And then we got to Saria, where a lot more people join, and then we found that the albergues after that, there's a lot of people that we hadn't seen, so they we assumed new pilgrims, and they were the ones with the plastic locking their bags in the lockers. We're thinking, no one's stealing your things. If they steal it, they have to carry it.
And for me, you know, they steal it, it's like they need it more than me. So I'm like, take it.
Yeah, and everyone's clothes are dirty and smelly, so if you want another smelly pair of socks, take them.
I have to, you know, to say that somebody took one, like shorts, running shorts. But on my first Camino, I lost my wallet like probably 5, 6, or 7 times. Every time they bring it back. I'm like, not that I lost it, you know. I'm always carrying like a little bag, side bag. And when I go to a place, I always leave it, you know, hooked to the table or to a chair. Or I leave it somewhere. I'm always forgetting I don't know. That's who I am. So, you know, my second day coming from Roncesvalles, I leave it on the first bar. You know, when you go down to the, and there's like a bar on the left side. So we have breakfast over there. So I recover mine in Zubiri. I was already, you know, thinking about calling my family in Pamplona, picking me back, go back, get, you know, a new ID, new credit card. It will be a whole change of Camino. But suddenly this guy from the UK appears, hey, your wallet. I'm like, I was already, you know, people already pay for my drinks, for my lunch, for everything. People are like, no, we will give you money so you can make it back to Pamplona. I'm like, live here. I'm like, I can call my family. It's not like but that's, I think, you know, the beauty of the Camino, how people are so helpful no matter what you need. You know, I'm like, nobody's going to take anything. If they take it, probably they need it more than ever. You know, now a lot of people talk about, you know, pickpocketing or stealing the Camino. What are they going to take? Your shoes? I'm like, oh, take it.
Yeah, exactly.
So how is, you know, the walking the Camino with your just newly wife, getting into a new style of life, coming. I don't know if you guys were hikers. Are you guys really into backpacking, or was this something, you know, out of the blue, or how was the decision making?
We've never sort of been on, we haven't been on multi-day hikes or anything together, but we always go on sort of little day trips and adventures around Melbourne and Victoria. So we're always, you know, used to spending the day and stuff together walking, but to spend multiple days together and with no sort of real escape, I suppose, is a little bit different. But there were some trying times. But I think for the most part, it's probably probably recommended for most newlywed couples. It definitely shows you sides that you've never seen of your partner, and you learn a lot about each other in the space of about a month. But I think we got through it pretty well.
Yeah.
And
you learn to communicate a lot more, like, because you only have each other. And I mean, we're not ones to hold a grudge or anything like that, but we've actually found that we communicate even more now than what we did prior, because we were together 4 years before we got married, about 4 years before we got married. So we knew each other really well, but it's a different connection now, would you say? So if something's annoying us now, we actually bring it up, like, rather than, you know, play the long game and the silent treatment. Yeah. Are you okay? What's wrong? We just sort of say, I was frustrated there because of this. And then we get, and it's done, and you move on. Yeah, the Camino taught us that you have to deal with these things. And I mean, there was, I remember a day coming out of, I think it was like, Hunilos or something, I threw my poles down, I don't know what it was, and you just took off, and then we had a couple of hours walking apart, and then it was just like, then we just like said sorry, and then hugged, and it was okay, like, it's just
I'm just seeing the meltdown as a 2-year-old, you know, a second grader in the class, and then they're coming back, I'm like, oh, that's, you know. And I guess that's what the Camino does, no? You point things that are important, and, you know, it's life, but just in a nutshell, so everything happens much more on a high end. You know, the downs are downs, the highs are highs, and I guess that's beauty, no?
Yes.
And you get to read people, and with your couple, I guess that you get to read how, you know, she or he is in the moment. I'm like, you don't even need to communicate. Probably a lot of days you will be, like, walking quiet, and that's when a lot of people ask, you know, do you walk all the time with your couple? Do you have time apart? Did you go every time in the albergue together? I'm like, I've interviewed people that they haven't left each other just for a minute. I'm like, I remember these guys that were coming from Sweden, or, and they were the whole Camino together. I'm like, no, we feel super nice with each other. I don't know if with you guys, you need some time apart or not.
We weren't too bad. It was probably just that day. I remember... we were walking, it was in the first week, first 10 days. I think we were walking into Nayira, and there was this man that he must have been around us for the last couple of days. And we'd often walk holding hands, just, and people would comment. And then this man came up to us because we were eating cherries from a tree. We just found this tree and started eating cherries. And we were speaking with him. We ended up naming him our Spanish oracle. We didn't know his name, but he was just like this little oracle that came along, and he said, I can feel your energy, the love energy from you two, and I give my energy to you. And he said, I've watched you two walk, and I can see you holding hands and laughing and chatting along the way. And it was just such a lovely moment. Like, we didn't know we were doing it. It's just how we are. And then he just took off, and we didn't see. He was just like a dust in the wind. Like, off he goes. There's the oracle imparting his wisdom, and off he goes.
And we'll never know if he was a real, or he was just part of the Camino. He was just who knows?
Exactly. Hopefully he's part someone or something like that. He's passing it on to other couples who are having those moments of about to throw their poles on the ground as they...
But it's true, but it's true what you say, you know, I guess that the Camino, you know, the energy, if you met with someone that has good energy in the Camino, that, you know, you get that energy from him. And I remember, you know, the other day we were talking about how the Camino puts the people that is really like you with you. I'm like, I remember very few people that I, you know, walk with them and just like, I need to go somewhere else. I don't have any, you know, bad memories of weird people or strange situations that I don't want to be with anyone in the Camino. I don't know if that's that my brain, you know, cut them off, or that everybody that, you know, the Camino puts in front of you, it was same-minded like you. I don't know if that happened with you guys.
Possibly. And I suppose possibly you don't judge. Like, you learn to, yeah. Everybody has a story. Everybody has a history. And it's probably you, because what we loved is you'd be walking and you'd meet these people and you'd chat with them maybe a couple of hours or a day or a couple of days, but you felt like you got to know them a little bit, and then they were gone and it was okay. But because you started off with a conversation, it was okay. But did you find, I don't think we found anyone. We're not really ones to not like people, I suppose. Kind of embrace whatever comes our way and make the most of it. We've met some incredible people that we still keep in contact with a lot. So some fellow Australians and Ami, a lady from Japan, we still catch up with her and chat with her, which is lovely. And Sarah in Birmingham, who we still chat with. So there's people that we wish that we exchange numbers with and did kind of keep that connection going. But I suppose when you look at the Camino, for those who have walked it, it's part of like your philosophy in life. In people come onto the Camino, people come into your life, and you get what you need. They enrich you in that period of time. So I think of one particular lady, Lizzie, who was from England, and she was very deep in her thinking, but she was a magical, magical lady to speak with. And I think we spent maybe the last 10 days running into her every night. And I often think about her. And I remember one of the big things she told us was she met maybe her Spanish oracle. And she was saying that there are different stages of the Camino that relate to your age. So if you walk from Saint Jean to Santiago, that sort of the early stages is sort of your infancy and then your junior years and growing up. And so sometimes when you have those hard days, those hard stages, it sometimes can reflect in your life. So it was quite funny for us to look at that, because when I had my hard stage was when I met Chris. So I don't know if that's some sort of message there. But just those people that we met that came in and then left and then came in. I suppose because we had that story of we were on our honeymoon, people would come and meet us and say, oh, you're the couple on your honeymoon. We've heard about you from such and such here and such and such here. So it was lovely to make those connections. It's funny
when you arrive to a place and they already have your story because some other pilgrim brought it with them, and with the time you arrive to albergue, you are the guys from the honeymoon.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
So how is it day by day, you know, when you go with someone in a moment, you know, and I guess, you know, if it's special to do the Camino with your partner and you love one when you are just, you know, a couple, when you're just newly breeds, honeymoon, how is the day by day? Were you, you know, 100% time with each other? Do you have your time, you know, you will go for a drink, you will go for a little walk? How do you manage that normal day by day?
On the Camino?
On the Camino, yeah.
We pretty much did spend, like, we definitely had every meal together, yeah. Many afternoon drinks. See, we even had siestas together. We sometimes would get funny looks from people when we were snoring away together, snuggling on the bottom bunk, and the poor person who was on the bunk to us trying to sneak in and unpack their things. So we were quite aware of not being too loved up in front of people when they're coming in after a hard day. But we did spend pretty much.
Yeah, there were times when we walked apart talking to other people. Mm. But I think for the most part, yeah, we probably spent 90% of the time together, I guess.
Yeah, probably even more. So it definitely prepared us for isolation inside a little two-bedroom apartment as we approach winter in Melbourne.
So what was the best part of, you know, walking together in your honeymoon, and what do you think was the no so good part of walking together your honeymoon?
Ooh, good question. I remember one night we were in Castro Gerais, which we loved. We stayed at an amazing day where we were on the top floor, and I think there was like 15 or 20 beds on the top floor, and it was a beautiful old place. I think the Spanish royal family used to travel through there and stay there. And we walked into town that day with a friend that we met on the Camino, Fiona, who we still keep in contact with. And instead of going to the albergue, we found a little bar, as you do. We sat down, had a few drinks. All the locals came out. And then when we eventually got to the albergue, I remember we just had we had quite a deep conversation that night that we nearly missed dinner. Like, we were lying in bed just chatting about life and what we wanted to do and where it was going to take us. Also getting rid of some frustrations from the day, I suppose. But I suppose the deep conversations that we had together, sometimes it was whilst we were walking, sometimes it was whilst we were just lying in bed, or because we'd often lie in bed and then say, all right, good night, and then Chris would jump up to his top bunk and I'd stay on the bottom. High five.
That's also quite interesting, no? I guess from your honeymoon, like sleeping in the, one day you will go to the hotel, the next day you are sleeping in the bank beds and you're like, yeah, high five. I'm like, people, yeah. It would be quite a funny story, I guess.
Yeah, and then I suppose the challenges, I suppose we did, maybe at the time we may have thought they were a challenge, but in hindsight, those sort of difficult times taught us a lesson, and we're probably living those lessons now, and that's probably why we are good communicators with each other and try and stay open. Would you agree? Like, can you think of different times?
No.
He's like, yes. You know, we are fast learners. I always, you know, used to teach my kids in class, you know, even first graders, they know, you know, like, yes, sweetie, whatever you want. I'm like, you know, you don't need to walk the Camino so far to... So what was the best part for you for the Camino? You know, a lot of people, they say that, you know, the San Gian is an incredible time. Then a lot of people, they love the Meseta. Some people hate the Meseta, you know, always the rival to Santiago is special. What was the time for you both that you would think, you know, like, if we can go back to this time now that we are, you know, at home and we can revive in a way that day again, which one will be, you know, your day?
I think we really enjoyed the Meseta. Because I think our expectations of the Meseta were quite low because everyone had warned us about, who had done it before, had warned us about the Meseta and said it's terrible. It's, you know, it's really long, long days, just flat, and it's just going to be very hard mentally and physically. But we actually found that we quite enjoyed it because we did get up early and we were able to enjoy the sunrise every morning with each other. And we actually found it was quite like home. It was quite flat, fairly barren land. So we found it quite comforting that it was a little bit like home.
Yeah, I'd say I enjoyed the Meseta as well, which is unusual, as Chris said, for people to enjoy that. I think also because a number of people skip the Meseta, as you know, they sometimes get the bus.
Suddenly it gets, you know, less crowded, I agree.
Yeah, and so maybe the people that we walked with for those days, that's probably where we made our greatest connections with people, because there was a big bunch of Koreans, remember the big bunch of Koreans, and we kept seeing all the way, and we actually finished in Santiago together. So there was a huge group of people that we met and then walked the Meseta with, and we even still talk about the two German men. These are, so it was lovely. But I suppose for me, I sort of it was many highlights throughout the 37 days that we walked, and I often reflect back on those. And something that does stand out for me is the whole time. I suppose the last week we knew we were going to finish. Like, people were like, oh, will we get there? But you just know you're going to walk. Your body just gets up, you walk, you do it. And I remember just embracing that last week because I knew it was coming to an end and we didn't want it to end. And so we were just sucking every moment in, every person that we met, every albergue, every nice hotel, that one in Tria Castella. Amazing, nice. Amazing. So we, that was another special treat. so really sucking in all those moments. And then the only thing we said to each other that we made a deal on was walking into Santiago, we wanted to make sure we're walking next to each other, holding hands. Because sometimes as we entered towns, particularly the little villages, we were with other people. Yeah. So we'd sort of just walk in and chatting amongst the big group and things like that. So we said, we need to walk in together regardless of who we end up with that day. And as we got closer and closer, I could feel, you could just feel this different energy again, like this real adrenaline kicks in, and we're just walking in holding hands. And as we're weaving through the streets of Santiago, and we walked past a little book stand, and they were playing, two ladies playing the cello, playing Alleluia by Leonard Cohen.
Wow.
It's like, oh, this is really pulling at the heartstrings there. And then as we got close, then you walk down the steps, and the piper is there, and I just started to tear up, like these happy tears. I couldn't believe it, that we actually had walked this together. And it's as though all those lessons that we had learned to kind of come to, like, together at that moment. And then walking into the plaza there was incredible. The big surprise for us was when you walk in, we didn't know that the cathedral would be on your left-hand side. Yes. And you'd turn around. Always had this vision of walking and it would
be... And the cathedral in the front, no? I guess that's that's one of the tricky parts, you know, that a lot of people, they don't even realize what they're going down prior to the arch. Like that the cathedral is already on the left. You don't even see it. I remember myself, and I don't remember seeing the cathedral at all. I remember as you were going, you know, going down, and I did something like you guys. I'm like, I decided, I told all my Camino family that I was walking alone, that I don't want to walk with anyone and get into Santiago. So I arrived like 9, 10. There was nobody there. The bagpiper was there. And like, I can imagine, you know, for you guys with the whole Alleluia, the cello and everyone, I'm like, quite an ending.
Oh, it was pretty magic. And then it was a Saturday, so in true Spanish form, there was a little festival set up and there was a DJ playing. And I think we rocked in at 10:30 or 11 in the morning. There's a DJ playing and we're like, the party's here now. And we ran into lovely Spanish and Portuguese girls that we'd met that we just thought, oh, this is an incredible moment. And we just sucked that in. Like, we just sat there and watched people that we had met along the way. And I remember, as you know, when you want to get your Compostela, you got to go get your little ticket now, and then you wait 3, 4, 5 hours for it. And so we ran back to the plaza and we were just seeing all these people, and we just sat and watched as people watched that moment and watched other people relive what we had that morning. And you just pick that up. And I just remember that moment so fondly. And I just think, like, I think of my family, because you imagine that they are there, because every now and then we'd send photos or little videos. We took a lot of video and footage of our time, and I just sort of thought, you felt like they were walking with us as well. So, yeah, walking into Santiago kind of encompassed all those lessons that we had learned for, I suppose, 37 days. Yeah.
It is incredible, you know, how something at the end gets everything together, now, and how always the Camino provides, you know, in your case, you know, the two girls playing the cello, the party, the everything, you know, everything meets up and you have your crazy. Did you finish your journey? Were you going, heading back all the way to Australia when you finished in Santiago, or did you stay a couple more days, you know, sightseeing?
Oh, no, that's when the real honeymoon started.
I'm not going to ask anything else, okay.
So we actually spent a bit of time in San Sebastian, which
Oh my God, it's such a beautiful,
amazing. That's amazing. Why, you know,
when a lot of people come to Spain, I'm like, I tell them, you know, you have to visit and get to enjoy. I'm like, when you're making it, you know, all the way from Australia and you're ready, take a couple of days if you can. You know, San Sebastian is incredible.
Yeah, we love Santiago as a city as it well. Is. We stayed 2 or 3 nights there, and we did one of the free walking tours that the city offers, which was amazing. We learned a lot, not just about the Camino, but the city in general. We didn't know, you know, in the plaza there, the hospital, the university, just the history of it. So we would definitely recommend that. And we went and watched the Benedictine nuns sing, like doing the Georgian chants one night. And just incredible. Those, just sucking up all those things that we had saw along the way, we didn't want it to end, so we'll just clutching on to it. So
that's also really important when for people. They need to stay a couple of days in Santiago, because one of the things that I love to do is just waking up, have breakfast, I go to the, you know, the Obradoiro, sit down over there and watching this the smile on the people when they cross through the, it's incredible. I'm like, the way it feels, you know, see people coming back and seeing their faces, and also, you know, just going around in Santiago to the bar, sitting the omelette, go to all the little places, and Santiago's not that big. With 2 days, it will be perfect, and it gives you the time to reflect and kind of like, unless you're going straight to Fisterra or Muxia, that's also worth it. But anytime, you know, if you're going to Muxia, Fisterra, always come back to Santiago, stay a couple of days over there.
Yeah, we would definitely recommend that. A great city. It's beautiful.
Did you treat yourselves in Santiago, or it was albergue?
No, we treated ourselves. We definitely treated ourselves. And in fact, I think it was the day we got there, and then we had actually sent a case from St. John. So we had our packs, and then we just had a small case for the rest of our trip of real clothes. And so we picked it up from a hostel that we had sent it to, and we opened it up, and the smell of washed clothes was incredible. But straight away we learnt, as you know, on the Camino, you learn to live with not much, and you see what's important. And we thought, why do we have so many pairs of shoes, and why do I have all these dresses? And it really started straight away. We're thinking, what is this? So, but I did take pleasure in throwing out a few of my Camino clothes. I threw out a lot of socks, t-shirts. I threw my shoes out because they were falling apart by the last few days.
I keep all my Camino clothing. I have all my shoes from the Camino with holes. They still, you know, I keep, I don't know why. I'm a thrower. I'm the one that, I'm like Marie Kondo, but in male version. Everything is tidy. I throw things away. I hug them, you know. I'm like, thank you, my shoes. Thank you, my backpack. Yes. But I don't know why. Yeah, I keep all the stuff. So then that's one of the things, you know, a lot of people think, you know, and I guess, you know, when Santiago has quite a big offer of places to stay, and if you can treat yourself, you know, with a night at the Parador or something like that, if you're coming from abroad, that's something that you have to give it a try. I'm like, the Parador is an incredible, or any of the, you know, the old kind of like style hotels, the one that is close to the Parador on the backside, they have really good prices, and it's totally worth, you know.
Yes, yeah. And I think we only booked that a couple of days before finishing, because there's lots available. So it's not as though you need to book. Like, we never wanted to kind of plan out too much where we were going. So we'd sort of think today we'll go here and then tomorrow possibly there. We never wanted to go too far, because you want to enjoy that moment. Yeah. But getting into Santiago, we weren't too sure, getting in on a weekend as well, what, knowing the Spanish, what sort of random fiestas they would have on a weekend.
So what was the most unexpected thing on the Camino? You know, always with the Caminos, you know, we were talking, you know, as you were talking before, when we talk about the, you know, where we did the Camino, the walking from home, we talk about, you know, we go to the Camino with expectations. And then I guess in your case, did you have any expectations that weren't, you know, filled? Or, and also, was there anything else that impressed you that you weren't expected?
Oh, that's another good question. Where's the whole Catholic?
Yeah, I think I didn't expect there to be as much of a sense of community, I think, across the Camino as there was. I thought it would be a lot of, you know, everyone sort of doing their own thing, I think. But I think the sense of community was something, yeah, I didn't expect, and it really impressed me how much people would, you know, be there for each other and help out in any way, shape or form, and sort of, you know, spend time with everyone. I think that was probably the thing that I didn't expect out of the whole Camino.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, because you sort of have, you get your Camino family. And they, you know, early in your early days, you meet a couple of people and you sort of walk with them. And then if you don't see them, it's okay. It's kind of, it is still fulfilling. You don't feel you have to hold on to that friendship and that connection. So there's always someone to hear their story and to learn a lesson from. So I'd agree the sense of community and connection. And I mean, we didn't train a lot. Like we did maybe what, 3 or 4, 5 longish walks before. And so that, I remember that night before we left in St. John, I was like, oh man, we're doing this. Like, how are we going to go? We didn't really know too much about the terrain. We had like the guidebook, but it's not until you're actually there. So it, I mean, it's physical, but like we're saying before, you just get this energy. You're living off 4 or 5 hours of sleep and you manage to walk 20, 25, 30, 35 Ks a day. You just do it because people carry you naturally.
Is the beer, the wine, the tortilla, the patatas, that's what, you know.
Yeah, that's
the Spanish Red Bull.
Yeah. That's true. But we would recommend leaving, as we were speaking before, leaving early because those early mornings, those crisp mornings in the dark.
Totally.
And it's silent. And there's lots of other pilgrims on the trail at that time as well, depending on where you are. But lots of just that silence and you watch that sunrise. So often we would just stop and take a moment and think, look where we are. And you lose track of what's happening in the world. It's just you're in a bubble. And that bubble is the most protected thing, and that's what we need to hold on to.
That's one of the most beautiful things of the Camino, the bubble that you get in. And that's also one of the hardest things because then, you know, and that was going to be my next question. How is life, you know, you go to the Camino as a couple newly and then you come out of the Camino as husband and wife after living all of that. How does the Camino change, you know, your relationship and your new stage in your life?
Handball that one. we're definitely a lot better communicators with each other. You can tell Chris is very good at
communicating. Oh yeah, yeah. No, I can tell that you're a good teacher because I'm like, I hear your teacher is like, I agree. You know, what do you think? I'm like, I know your PSYAP. You have PSYAP there perfectly square.
Probing questions. I was going to say, what was your question again, actually?
You know, when we live in a bubble, the Camino is a bubble. You know, we didn't know what's going on. And, you know, that kind of relationships, it is. But for you guys, you came from a bubble. That was your wedding. Then you go to the Camino, you know, newly couple. And then you come out with the Camino, see a new, you know, family, husband, wife, and everything. How did, you know, that Camino inflected in your life when you came back? And how did it change or if it changed it at all?
Yeah. Well, I suppose... people saw a different, I mean, we're very connected before, very, very connected. We have a lot of similar interests. And I suppose the communication that we have now, and we do not sweat the small stuff. We didn't really prior, but definitely now we don't overthink things. Things just kind of happen. We roll with it. Would you think anything else? We're still married, so that's it.
And now with the whole situation, nothing has changed. I'm like, you guys don't go on walks. You don't sleep with your sleeping bag in the couch or...
Yeah. No, we're not in the sleeping bags and sleep sheets anymore, so that's a positive. But I suppose working from home, both of us working from home now, it's normal. Like the Camino does sort of teach you that self-isolation and that thinking time. We haven't not struggled. I don't think we've actually, we said the other day, we haven't had a fight. What's going on? Let's just like make one up.
So you have that getting back to normal, that making peace.
Yeah. So it's just that continual communication that we definitely learned on the Camino. Because if you didn't do that on the Camino, there's the two of you there and you are each other's partner. You have to look after each other. So if we didn't look after each other there, I think it would have impacted our marriage. So we're coming up to nearly 1 year. My next challenge is to convince Chris that we walk it for our 5th year anniversary. So hopefully everything's toned down by then, and then walk the Camino in 2024. Would be nice.
Sometimes, you know, you have stories in the podcast from, you know, we have this couple from the US. They walk the Camino with their baby Hudson, and they come out of the Camino with another baby, Kelia, and they walk the Portuguese last year with grandma. I'm not saying anything for you guys, not putting any pressure, Chris, but you know, the Camino that spring, and I know we're seeing more than ever, you know, those families coming back to the Camino, that kind of relationship that whole family can develop, and as you know, couples. And I agree. you know, a lot of people right now, I think we are going to need the Camino more than ever. The kind of like, you know, the going back to the roots of the human relationships, you know, getting outside. And I guess the walking and the Camino has that power, no? And as you say, you know, before, it's something that changed you and you get kind of like hooked. You're really looking at your next time on the Camino. So I don't know. It's just so interesting.
Yeah, it's a moment that, like, I suppose, an experience that we cherish each day and we will continue to cherish. So we don't look back as though, oh, that's the Camino, tick, that's done, what's next? We still think about it, and most days we talk about what we saw, or we'll be eating something, think, oh, this reminds me of the little village we went to, or the lady we met at this albergue who told us this. So we really try and think about those moments and hold on to them, because it is an incredible experience that we would encourage lots of people to embrace and take on, particularly for your honeymoon. So there's plenty of time, you know, before the Camino, after the Camino. Because as I said, we did go to San Sebastian and eat a lot, drink a lot. The Pinchos in San Sebastian, the beach, everything there was incredible. Then we spent about 2 weeks through Italy continuing to eat and drink and swim and just love life, really.
Yeah, I'm in for next time. Yeah, I just need to find someone to get married with. I guess that will be your next challenge for next upcoming phase two of the coronavirus. And my final question will be, you know, I'm like, for you, as you say, you know, I guess right now we see a lot of people doing the Camino for, you know, people changing jobs and everything. But in your case, you know, why would you recommend to couples or to newlyweds to go to the Camino? What do you think that's important and that brought you so much, you know, for you both, and you will suggest them to do it too?
Well, I think, like Ange said, it's the communication that we learned, that, you know, it opens so much into your relationship, and you learn so much about each other in such a short period of time. That might not be so good for some couples, but but for us, it really solidified our relationship, I think. And I think it's something that probably all couples should do at least once.
Yeah, some of my favorite photos that I reflect back on are ones that people took of us holding hands, and they'd run up to us in the village and say, I took this photo of you, do you want me to send it to you? So I think we learnt a lot about each other along the way and enriched our relationship. And we have incredible photos of us walking together, holding hands, kissing at different moments. Like, it's something that I would recommend to anybody walking on their own, but particularly couples, because as Chris said, you learn more about each other in 30 days than it probably takes couples years to get to know it about each other. And particularly before you have children, you probably need to iron out a few things before you're really
and maybe down or and maybe it's a good time, and as we say before, maybe it's a good time to get your work done, but who never knows. You know, it's funny that you mentioned the pictures, because one of the pictures that people love on Instagram, it is the one with the sign of Roncesvalles, you know, it's the typical also one with the Santiago, but also couples holding hands or kiss, they always are incredible. I don't know what, you know, it brings joy to people when, you know, when you see another couple on the Camino happy, or when you see, as we were saying before, you know, that joy that, you know, I don't know, you pass it into others. So that's also something that I think is great.
Yeah, and you get to accomplish something together. Like, there's not a lot of things in life that, you know, you might do marathons or swimming events or anything like that, or promotions. You don't get to accomplish that together with someone else. Where this, we went through that whole time, that whole journey together and walking together. That's something that we treasure, and it's hard to explain and to that feeling to others. But we get to live that every day. And when we look back on those photos, you just get that spark again.
I know, and it's amazing, because I can see, you know, the smile, and that's one of the things that I love the most about doing all of this, you know, that I get to revive my Camino, and I, you know, seeing the smile in other people and driving again. And that's what, you know, we get us through these moments. And I guess that's the beauty, you know, we nourish these memories forever, and they bring you so much joy that that's why we keep coming back to the Camino and other Caminos of just these different things in life.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Anyway,
true.
Thank you so much both for opening your house, your hearts, and you know your Camino experience to all of us. And as we say always, you know, buen camino and Utrella.
Buen camino.
Thanks to everyone for listening one more day to El Camino People, the podcast. So for you to know, we are still the light of the Camino. This is still walking. There's a backpack with a light walking all the way from Roncesvalles to Santiago. You can check all the stages, who is covering it, and all the latest information about it in our website. Please also remember, join our YouTube channel, Facebook, Instagram. We will be live streaming all around the Camino as the backpack goes through. And we will have a big surprise for you at the end of the Camino once the backpack arrives to Santiago. Till then, keep enjoying all the pictures from pilgrims, all our stories, and at the end, keep enjoying Camino. Buen Camino to everyone. Utrella.